Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text we're going to consider is the Old Testament lesson. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." This is our text. Norman, boys, I'm not going to try to recount every name. I'll forget somebody. It's getting worse as I get older. Grace to you and peace from God. Those beautiful words, and also Debbie. It's hard to grow old. There are some people who market products promising us that their products will ease the effects. They constantly promise us that if we could just live a certain way, if we could take a certain thing, whether it's a drug or a supplement or whatever else, we'd live longer. We'd live better. But there's no getting around it. Even from middle age, we see the effects. And the older we get, usually the complications of age and wear multiply the difficulties we have. And so it was with Carolyn. Things just kept going. And, you know, we sit here and we think, you know, if we could have done something, if we could have lived better. No, God doesn't talk like that. He doesn't even use like statistics and says, you know, the average person will. No, he says, actually, that your times are in my hands. You won't add or subtract from the life that you've been given, according to God's foreknowledge. We like to think that because it's kind of flattering, but it's also a burden. It's a burden because we get the impression that, well, it doesn't have to be like this. I don't have to live like this. I shouldn't have to suffer like this. In fact, it can make us a bit crabby, especially when we are succumbing to some of these troubles. We can become grumpy and wonder, why in the world am I going through this? You see, whenever you put the emphasis on your strength and on your actions and your behaviors, life becomes burdensome. It gets tiresome. We talk to older people and they tell us at some point or another, they're looking forward to die. They want to go home. They're tired. The latest phone, the latest bit of technology, the latest truck, combine, whatever it might be, doesn't really excite them anymore. What excites them is healing and restoration. As we age, our family and friends also seem to thin out. Those people that know us so beautifully. See, I forgot Pam, too. It's just terrible. The friends thin out. Familiar people. We don't remember them. We start thinking, who's not here? We start thinking, I'm kind of lonely. And in fact, it seems to get worse because the people don't know us. Like our friends and our family, our brothers and sisters knew us. You see, my memory failures, that also gets worse too, doesn't it? And you sit back and you struggle to even have a conversation. Life loses its interest in some ways. But you see, for the church, for the Christian, for Carolyn, and for those of us who are waiting, we have these wonderful words from Isaiah and from Luke. Words that remind us that in the middle of this fallen world, words that I reminded Carolyn of as she sat that afternoon before she died, and she was telling me what she couldn't do anymore. Kind of scattered and just going through kind of a list of things. And of course, it's very frustrating when you can't get up, when you depend on people for all of the things that you need. And you like the idea of being independent. I can't do this. I can't remember that. I don't know about this. And I said, Carolyn, it's true. We get old. We forget people. We forget their names. We forget what we're supposed to know. But Christ always thinks on us. Christ has his mind on you, even this afternoon. And that's a good thing. He says in these beautiful words from Isaiah, I will not forget you. What a lovely phrase. It's easy to forget this wonderful promise. The people of Israel in the midst of troubles cry out and say, the Lord has forsaken me. That's the way we as human beings go, isn't it? I mean, when things don't go the way we want, we wonder, where's God? Why has he let me sit in this position? And I tell you, as you get older, when I deal with people who are in the nursing home or in the hospital, they want to go. They're ready. It's tiresome going to the doctor 2-3 times a week. It's tiresome sitting there by yourself, not able to do anything. Maybe facing cancer, having kidney problems, a broken bone. All of us feel that way at some point or another. All of us think if something goes wrong, if a child walks away from the faith, it bothers us. We wonder, where's God? I did everything I could for that child, and yet they walked away. Where is God? God has forsaken me. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Things go wrong, and we have tried to do the best we can, and if God loves us, it shouldn't have gone this way. Carolyn even said, I think I mentioned this in Audrey New's funeral, that Audrey at the end saying, what did I do to deserve this? It's a common thing. Why? That's the whole book of Job. What did I do? Some people actually then give up on Christ. Give up on God. Shouldn't be this way. And that's just not biblical. It's not true. It's not the way God describes things. Giving up on him doesn't solve anything. It makes things worse. But that's another sermon for another time. The question comes back to the fact that what does it mean that we're not forsaken? You know, the world is hard. This world is accursed. It's hard to bear, and we go through troubles, and we look for relief, for peace, for healing, and we get confused when we listen to all those people who tell us how things will be better. God has said to us, don't set your heart on the things of this world. He didn't say it's going to get better. He says as time goes, it's going to get worse. He doesn't say it's going to be easier for you. He says, watch. It's going to get difficult to cling to the faith. And if we wonder if God has forsaken us, God says, well, read forward in about 4 chapters in Isaiah to Isaiah 53. God makes it clear for us in Isaiah 53 that God hasn't forsaken us. Rather, God sent his son in the world to be forsaken for us. So that we would never have to be forsaken. So that we would never have to be alone. So that we would have a God who comes into this world and he says, now look, yeah, it's cursed. Yes, there's death. And you're not going to be able to buy a tonic to make it all go away. But my son shed his blood and was forsaken. He's the one that paid for your sins on the cross. He reconciled us to God. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? We are not forsaken. He thinks on us. Before the foundation of the world, he thought on Carolyn. And he said, I will go to die for her. And St. Augustine put it this way, if she had been the only one ever born, he would have come into this world and suffered and died for her. Because he wants to be with her in eternity. And now she died in him. Resting, asleep, Paul says. And when we lay her to rest today, we are people who have hope. And so the Lord comes to you this day, and the Lord's thinking of you, and he's singing into your ears these beautiful words, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands, so this day, remember and know that while the pastor might forget your name, your friends might forget your name, maybe your mom or dad would even forget who you are, I will never forget you. Before the foundation of the world, I was determined to save you, to rescue you. God never forgets. I will never forget you. As you go through pain and suffering, God tells us how difficult it's going to be. But he also tells us that I will send my words. Now, we think, oh, it's just words. Well, it's just words that created this world. It's the Word became flesh that came to live and die and was forsaken for us on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? The Word in flesh who paid the price that you and I could never pay, who redeemed us so that we might be able to walk in this world in peace. When we seem to lose control and the power and the will to go on with life, God sings, I will never forget you. I've inscribed you right here. Everything I'm doing, I'm thinking about you. It's not that you think of me. It's not that you somehow pray a prayer, make a decision, or somehow do something. It's that I am thinking on you. God was thinking about her, and he makes it clear in this Old Testament text. He made that promise to Carolyn when she came to faith, and he didn't fail to keep it. In fact, today we celebrate that she lived and she died in the faith, and that she will rise again. That in the Lord's sight, it was precious for her to die. Oh, not that death is precious, but when she died, the old sinful nature died. And she was one step further to that glory that God intends for her, where there are no more kidney problems, hip problems, or whatever else ails you. He didn't fail to keep those promises. He kept those promises not for a perfect person, for she was not a perfect person. There isn't a perfect person except for Christ. And he took all your sins and became a damned sinner for you, forsaken for you, so that you might shine like stars, so that you might be God's child, so that you might be an heir. What a wonderful promise God made. She was not a perfect person without struggles and doubts, but a person who confessed her need for a perfect Savior, forsaken for her, that she may never be forsaken. She, tired as she was, complicated with troubles, pain, sadness, found in Christ a rock to stand on, a refuge to hide in the midst of all of this. And she said, I want to go home. That's a noble desire. Simeon had the same desire. As he waited and waited to see the Christ, and in such a beautiful way, he too sang, and he sings into our ears, that God has kept his promises, that God is thinking on Simeon. And he said, now I can go and die. For he had held the Savior of the world, and he believed and he trusted. And for that too, we sing in thanksgiving to God and we pray. For at times like this, we can become overwhelmed, we can feel sad, we can wonder, is there something I could have done, or I should have talked to her more, or I should have, and listen to the pronouns, I. No, Lord Jesus, think on me. Think on me and purge away my sins. Remind me that one day I will see Carolyn again, and all the things that I didn't do for her, she's not going to say, well, let's have a talk about this. She's going to rejoice to see you, and she will be completely renewed, body, soul, and spirit. Lord Jesus, think on me. That's our prayer today as we stay behind. And the Lord today desires to heal, to restore, to save us. We confess in our own pain and sorrow, our own fear of being alone, that we are not alone. For he thinks on us daily and he promises to be with us. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he has our names written on the palms of his hands. Today we don't gather together trying to preach Carolyn to heaven, trying to convince ourselves she was such a nice person. But we preach Christ and him crucified. For in Christ we find rest. He is our rest, Paul says. He is our Sabbath. He is the Prince of Peace whose birth we just celebrated. Lord Jesus, think on me. And he says, I do. I will. I will never forget you. As we get older, we can't keep everything straight. As we get older, we struggle. But the Lord, who thinks on us, daily forgives us, purges us, keeps us, and he brings us home. It's hard to grow old, but that's not the end of things. That's not the goal. That's not the golden years are not our goal. We have hope. We grieve. Yes, today we grieve. Today it's going to be hard. The tears will be cold, and they're real. But we grieve not as those who have no hope. Rather, we look forward to a new heaven, a new earth, new bodies, a world without a curse. We look forward to the fact that we shall see Carolyn again, because Christ had his mind on her. And we will see all the saints again because Christ has his mind on us today. We live in faith. We live in faith, the faith that we sang about on Christmas in that little hymn, Joy to the World. Faith that he spread his grace and his power and his strength as far as the curse is found. As far as the curse is found. And we live in faith that joy has come to the earth. And even today, in the midst of our grief, we find joy in Christ Jesus. Amen.